It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. One of the nation's largest companies is raising its minimum wage for all workers. Starting next month, Amazon will pay all of its American employees $15 an hour, which is more than double the federal minimum wage. Our neighbor to the west, Minnesota, seems poised to raise its statewide minimum wage to $15 an hour. Wisconsin's minimum wage is still at the federal level of $7.25 an hour. So, Wisconsinites, do you get paid the minimum wage? What's that like? Are you able to get by, or do you have to hold multiple jobs to stay afloat? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email address, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Laura Dresser is the Associate Director of COWS, formerly known as the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, where researchers consider Wisconsin's economy and social problems. She's also a labor economist with emphasis on workforce development and low-wage work, and a professor in the School of Social Work at UW-Madison. Laura, welcome to the Morning Show.
Thanks for having me.
Amazon recently announced that it will pay all of its U.S. employees a minimum wage of $15 an hour starting November 1st. How significant is this for a company like Amazon?
Well, this is a huge moment, I think, for the 375,000 workers that this will impact their incomes right away, but also symbolically as a challenge to other retailers and other leading companies just about how the people at the very bottom of their wage structures are treated and how we really move towards more shared prosperity in this country.
Do you think that there will be a ripple effect for decisions like this, that others will follow suit? We've already seen Walmart increase what it pays its minimum wage employees. Target, I believe, has also done so. We're seeing some movement in that direction. So is there a ripple effect?
I think this is both causative. Yeah, there's a ripple here. Target is already phasing into 15, as you noted. I think others see this and understand that the market's moving, the demands are changing. And it has a real, I think, both kind of symbolic effect. It makes people think, what should I be asking for in my retail job? On the worker side, it makes people think a little harder about the standards that they're seeing in their own jobs. And for the employer side, it makes employers think, what do I need to do to look competitive, to stay competitive in this environment?
Amazon has also pledged to support increasing the federal minimum wage to $15. Do you think that their support is going to be enough to push us in that direction, or what's it going to take to get this done nationally? We haven't had a minimum wage increase since 2009.
Yeah, increasing the minimum wage is incredibly popular with conservatives and liberals. This is why when conservative states put it on the ballot, even they raise the minimum wage. So 29 states have minimum wages above the federal level. For some reason, in spite of that political popularity, that salience with Republicans and Democrats of this as a policy to help raise standards and work for America, in D.C., the minimum wage just gets, the debate there gets stalled out all the time. And it does look like it's going nowhere right now. Depending on what happens in elections and depending on what happens in the economy, continued labor market tightness, and continuing to see state after state and company after company move to higher standards, that does make it more likely in D.C., but that seems like the last place we're going to see this action.
So what effect is this Amazon decision to increase its minimum wage? What effect do you think this will have on consumers?
Well, we know right now that the company is valued in the trillions, that it is delivering enormous wealth to shareholders. I expect the wage impact of this would be very unlikely to move. The total company is most likely to move rewards to shareholders, a little bit to workers, and have almost no impact on product costs. That would be my guess. I'm sure there'll be research on this. But when the share of the total cost of an item from Amazon is only a very small part hinges on that wage, and when that wage is very small and raises a little, it probably doesn't come out in consumer wages. What consumers might see, though, is and the company might especially see, is less mistakes in the warehouse because workers are less distracted by their exhaustion from trying to find other work, more attention.
I think we just lost Laura. Laura Dresser is a labor economist and the associate director of COWS. Wisconsin's minimum wage is current.
Back.
Oh, you're back. Okay, we lost you there for a second. Well, let me finish this and then we'll go back into your comments. Laura Dresser is labor economist and the associate director of COWS. Wisconsin's minimum wage is currently $7.25 an hour, the same as the federal minimum. Listeners, would you support an increase to $15 an hour? Why or why not? 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. That will also reach us. But 800-642-1234. What do you think? Should we raise the minimum wage? Why or why not? So in terms of the actual effect on workers at Amazon, you mentioned they'll likely be less distracted because they may not have to have multiple jobs in order to get by. What impact does it have on the economy when workers go from making, say, $11 an hour to $15 an hour?
Well, I think that loyalty and commitment effect, you can see different employers who raise wages report seeing a different kind of loyalty from their worker, and where the quality matters, you can see quality going up. So in retail, that's especially for Amazon, that's probably questions of quality in the warehouse. But you can see customer service skills and attention to responsiveness go up. You can see the ability to connect to clients and care work go up. When workers can earn more money that actually allows them to pay for the gas they need to buy to get to their work, or not worry so much about how they're going to cover rent at the end of the month, it can change also how present they can be at their job.
You know, $15 an hour probably buys more in Wisconsin than it does, say, in California. Is the effect of this increase going to be felt differently in different parts of the country just because the cost of living is different?
Yeah, I'm sure that Amazon, well, I expect, I guess I don't know for a fact, but I expect that Amazon warehouses are paying different amounts in different labor markets because of both the costs and the wage norms in those labor markets. So it is unlikely that they're paying only one level. I think that consistently, though, they're paying below $15 an hour. And so they're raising that level up for the minimum to $15 an hour. And I would expect in some labor markets, they may have to exceed that.
We're talking about the minimum wage with Laura Dresser, labor economist and associate director of COWS, and with you if you care to join us at 800-642-1234. We're getting some calls now. We will take some of those and continue with our conversation about the minimum wage. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. The minimum wage, what's the right level? That's what we're talking about this hour on the Morning Show. What are the pluses and minuses of increasing the minimum wage to, say, $15 an hour. Wisconsin's minimum wage is currently $7.25 an hour, the same as the federal minimum. Would you support an increase to $15 an hour in Wisconsin? And if so, why? If not, why not? Let us know at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You can also send an email to ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Laura Dresser is with us. She is the Associate Director of COWS and a professor in the School of Social Work at UW-Madison. Laura, earlier this year, the Milwaukee Bucks decided to increase the pay of its arena workers to $12.50 an hour and then bump it to $15 an hour by 2023. What kinds of pressure do companies feel to make these kinds of decisions these days?
Well, I think that there's been a lot of really extraordinary organizing around the issue by workers, led by workers around the issue of wages in different settings. The Fight for 15 started in 2012 when New York fast food workers demanded higher wages for their work in fast food restaurants in Manhattan. And it's spread across the country so that it's changing the wages of more than 40 million people. But you can see that as the organizing in Milwaukee was workers saying, look, if we're going to have a big in public investment in this stadium, we should expect decent jobs out of it, and we'll negotiate with the Bucks over how those jobs are going to look. That's, I think, the place where the organizing and activism has gone on, is that workers who are in these jobs are standing up and saying, I cannot make my life work in this work, and we need to see the wages increase.
So let's talk about what kind of economic sense this made for the Bucks. I mean, I really hesitate to assign altruism to corporations, but what's in this for the Milwaukee Bucks?
Well, I would say that the Bucks are, of course, while they're a private corporation and they make a lot of private money, there have been numerous public investments in it, most notably in the infrastructure of this stadium. And that means that there is a public commitment. I don't think it's an altruism, but they understand that they have been invested in to be an economic development driver in downtown Milwaukee, and that the quality of the jobs at that stadium are as important to that economic driver position that it plays as the salaries they're going to pay their players.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a phone call. We've got callers who want to join our discussion. Mary Kay in Kenosha is one of them. We'll go to Mary Kay first. Good morning, Mary Kay. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. What I'd like to say is we have the most educated workforce in the world. And people that speak English should be making $11 to $15 an hour.
Okay. Mary Kay, thanks thanks for the call. Mary Kay thinks that we have this educated workforce. They should be making more money.
I think that's a kind of, if you notice back to 1979 when the general level of education in the economy was lower, the wage at that point, if you ingest it for inflation, is really just about a dollar an hour lower than now. So I think people do feel like the rewards to education haven't gone up enough, and the prosperity hasn't been shared. So I know sometimes that's one way of kind of thinking about it.
Terry from Sheboygan joins us next. Terry, good morning. Thanks for being on the morning show.
Good morning. Thank you. And I agree with her comment that prosperity has not been shared. That's really the focus of my comment, is that corporations have record profits. Higher ups in corporations make 20 times the salary of an employee. I'm not saying they're not worth more, but 20 times is incredibly, number one, discouraging. And you only make that money because those workers work. And if they don't work, like she said before, if you don't have quality people, courteous people at the counters, handing out the stuff, delivering, people aren't going to keep coming because they're going to say, oh, I could go somewhere else and be treated crappy. And that's what's happening. They're being treated very, very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
With, I mean, that's how they feel when they're when you're paid such a minimum amount of money. We have to make a living.
Terry, thanks. Thanks for that call, Laura. What about it? It's an investment in employees to pay them a living wage, but some companies don't seem to see it that way.
Yeah, I think that this is another. I mean, this is good news from Amazon in thinking about how do we share prosperity. They.
And we seem to have lost Laura again. Laura, are you back? There you go. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. All right.
Okay, technology. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. So let's move on. So let's say Wisconsin raised its minimum wage from $7.25 an hour, where it is now, to $15 an hour. How would that affect the state's economy? I mean, you have some people saying, well, we would lose employment. There'd be people who'd get laid off if we do this. So what do you think, from your perspective, what would happen to the state's economy if we raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour in Wisconsin?
Well, I think that the right way to think about this is not like, are we going to raise the minimum wage to 50? Are we going to more than double the minimum wage in a day, right? Every single state and structure that is moving towards $15 an hour is phasing in a series of increases. So I don't think, I wouldn't want to see an instant wand waved and an instant increase to $15 an hour. That said, I think that it's possible to move this wage, but it would impact a lot of people's, the structure of work and the price structure for different employers in different ways. And there would be a lot of adjustment that would have to go on across the period. Right now, though, in Wisconsin, there are fewer and fewer employers paying exactly $7.25 an hour. That's because the labor market is so tight. So $7.25 isn't as important at the floor as it was 7 years ago, right? Because more and more employers are paying $10 and $11 an hour. That floor is moving up a little bit. Kind of increase in the minimum wage would just require everyone to meet that standard and move it in a predictable way over time to $15 an hour in a way that employers could adjust and workers could really benefit.
Let's take another call. Kira is with us from Waukesha. Kira, thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Yes, hello. Thank you. Nothing too insightful. I was just going to mention that, I make like $20 an hour and I can make ends meet, but it's not like I'm rolling in money. And whereas my sister, she's a single mother who didn't get to go up two children. She didn't get to go to college and she's got to live with my father. She's working at a nursing home making like 12, I think, or something like that. But she was just crying to me the other day about it because she has to live with my dad. She can't even make ends meet. So I think it just encourages people to not even work and sit on state aid.
All right, Kira, thanks for that. We've got about a minute left. What does minimum wage buy you these days?
Well, at $7.25 an hour, I think it's very hard, especially, as she points out, if you've got kids, if you're carrying rent by yourself, $7.25 an hour is almost impossible. So people will double up, especially the high cost of rent and the high cost of childcare are two things that for families at the wage floor are just really hard to sustain.
Well, I mean, even $12 an hour, does that buy you a rental in Wisconsin?
Obviously it depends on the town and the quality, how much childcare costs you have on the side. But it's a stretch, I think, in any community in the state with two kids to be able to afford rent at a decent place on $12 an hour.
I'm talking with Laura Dresser, who is the Associate Director of COWS and a professor in the School of Social Work at UW-Madison. We're talking about the minimum wage and what's the appropriate level. What do you think about this? If you get paid minimum wage in Wisconsin, what's that like for you? Let's say you get paid $10, $12 an hour. Is that enough to be able to put food on the table and pay the rent, buy prescription drugs if you have to take some, pay your insurance and things like that? Can you get by? What do you think is the appropriate floor for wages in where you live? What should it be? What would you like to see it be? Or do you think people, it's just the market and you get paid what you get paid and that's that? Either way, let us know. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org. Or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. The minimum wage, what's the right amount? How much should we be paying workers? If you're working for the minimum wage in Wisconsin, or maybe just a little bit more than that, is it enough for you to get by? Do you work multiple jobs to make ends meet? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org. is the email address, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Laura Dresser is the Associate Director of COWS and a professor in the School of Social Work at UW-Madison. Laura, let's take another phone call here. We'll hear from Mitch, who's calling us from Upper Michigan. Mitch, thanks for joining us on The Morning Show.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I've been listening to your show all morning and stuff. You know, the minimum wage, I don't think it really matters all that much. I mean, you $7 an hour, $20 an hour, what's going to happen is all the prices are going to go up anyway. So, I mean, who really wins other than the people that are supplying all the big products and making all the big money, the CEOs, executives, and such.
All right, Mitch, thanks for that. So it doesn't really matter what we set the wages at. The prices are going to go up, and the people at the top are going to be collecting all the money anyway. Is that how it works, Laura?
Well, I think there's a good reason that people have that view. Mitch and another caller both have mentioned the way that this economy has generated inequality, that most of the growth is getting secured by the richest people and by shareholders. I think we really need a new model to share prosperity, a way to move the standards of living of people as the economy grows. My view is a little more positive. I think there's reasons to invest in workers and that you get real productivity out of it, and so that it could have some positive effect too. But I think it really does have this effect of at least improving standards of living at the bottom of the labor market as economies grow. And so I agree that's part of what's going on, and at least the minimum wage helps move the standards of living for the people who work at or near the floor.
Mitch, thanks thanks for calling in this morning. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. And let's go next to Cindy, who joins us from Waukesha. Cindy, hello.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question regarding the minimum wage. I currently make $6.25 more than the current minimum wage.
Yes,
but that's still below the 15. If it goes up to 15, do I bump up $1.50 to be a minimum wage worker, or is my skill and experience still worth $6.50 an hour more than the minimum?
That is such a good question.
Yeah, that's a great question.
That is such a good question. And labor economists have grappled with this one for a long time. I don't think there's a certain and clear answer as the wage rises to 15. But we know from earlier increases in the 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 zone, where wages already are in different states, that as the floor moves, people at the floor who get covered by the minimum wage who were above it before, their wage ripples up. It doesn't move the entire distribution. So I would expect, Cindy, that you wouldn't stay 625 above the floor, but you would stay a step above the floor. So that's in general what happens. Employers move the floor up, and then people who were slightly above those entry workers are moved slightly above that. So maybe not exactly 625 above the minimum, but also not right at 15 would be the answer. And usually it's a dollar or two, sort of $1 or two more than the minimum if you were, you know, in that situation that Cindy's in.
Cindy, thanks for that call. One of the things you touched on this a little bit earlier, and I wanted to go back to it because I think this is a pretty important point. And there's something here a lot of people don't necessarily understand. In spite of the fact that it is a tight labor market, there is a shortage of labor. We're hearing that from employers, and yet wages in the United States have been flat or actually going down in real terms. That seems counterintuitive. If we do have a tight labor market, why aren't wages going up as employers have to compete for skilled labor?
Yeah, there's a lot of economists who spend a lot of time thinking about this question. The answers that seem most compelling to me are about the way that we have allowed our institutions to become weak. The institutions that help give workers voices, help tie workers' prospects into economic growth in general. And I think principally of two things. I think of the minimum wage, which has been $7.25 an hour, as you said, since 2007, was it?
09,
no, more
I
than
think.
10 years.
Yeah.
09, sorry, almost 10 years, right? And for those of you who worked for the minimum wage in the 1980s, it was $3.35 all across the 1980s. So that we let the minimum wage become irrelevant across a decade, and then we kind of raise it up. We've seen a shift in standards in low-wage jobs in terms of the ability of workers to get hours out of them. We have very weak regulation around those other standards of quality in low-wage jobs, especially how hours can be counted on and how and specific benefits like paid leave and sick leave. And then the third thing is unions. Unions were a much more important force in this economy. They were a force that brought workers' wages in manufacturing to their level systematically. And we've seen the decline of unionization and the outright attacks on unions. And all of that undermines the ability of workers really to make changes in the wage structure or to make demands of their companies that they're contributing to and those companies that are growing. So that's where I look for the answers on why America kind of stands out for having greater increases in inequality across these last years.
In 2014, the Congressional Budget Office estimated that raising the minimum wage to $10 an hour over 3 years would result in job losses. Is this an unavoidable consequence of raising the minimum wage?
Well, there's some economic theory kind of informs that view, though a lot of research has tended to find very minimal impact on jobs. I remember the first time this came up is early 90s. There was research on the New Jersey-Pennsylvania border. One side had a minimum wage increase. And the economists couldn't find any impact on total employment in the state that had the higher minimum wage. And they really marveled that the employment effect was so minimal. I think another thing you can see is that the states that have rising minimum wages are the states that have better economies. I'm not saying that the minimum wage, the higher minimum wage is making their economies better, but it's also not the case that a higher minimum wage is ripping apart their economies or tearing apart employment. So there is always a balance. It's important to think about jobs lost, but it's also important whether life, you know, what the standard of living we're going to accept at the bottom of the labor market, and to establish a standard and productivity and supports for workers and employers around that.
Let's take another call. This time we'll go to Milwaukee, where Drew is joining us. Drew, thanks for being here on the morning show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I just want to add two real quick comments. First, I think everyone needs to kind of think about the fact that there's really a supply and demand with jobs. I mean, if you can do something that less people can do, you're probably going to get paid more for it. I also think we should differentiate between the minimum wage and a living wage. I think the minimum wage is more meant for students and people who are trying to gain skills, and that they can use a minimum wage to gain skills so that they can make a living wage in the future. And the people who stay at that level need to think about, should they expect to get paid more if it's a job that's not meant to be a living wage? Thanks for taking the call.
Drew, thanks for the call. Laura?
Well, according to the way a lot of people think about it, one of the questions for me, though, is let's take the care worker, for example, who's working at the nursing home. I think that's Cindy's sister, $12 an hour. And I think no one would say that work.
I think we're gonna need to reconnect here.
Can you not hear me? Am I back?
Yeah. Yeah, let's try and reconnect here. I'll invite our callers to join us while you're doing that. Laura Dresser is the Associate Director of COWS and a professor in the School of Social Work at UW-Madison. We're talking about what people get paid and how much, what's the right amount? What's the, you know, minimum wage, living wage? These are all terms we throw around. What do you think, where you are? What would be, for example, wherever you're living, what would be a minimum that you could live with? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. That's the number to call. And if the phones are full, well, send us an email, ideas@WPR.org. We'll reach us that way. And you can also tweet us at WPR Mornings, 800-642-1234. We're wondering what you think would be an appropriate wage floor. What should the lowest wage be in our state of Wisconsin, and why do you think that? Maybe it's different where you live than maybe somebody in another city where the cost of living is a little bit higher. Okay, Laura, are you with me?
I am.
Okay, great. These are the times that try people's souls. Let's let's take another call. Peggy is with us in beautiful Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. Peggy, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I have a personal situation which I know is affecting all Wisconsinites. I lived in a beautiful little house for 6 years, paid $400 a month rent plus utilities. I was evicted September 1st so the landlord could move their grandson in. And now I'm living in a house that's for sale for the winter. And I collect Social Security.
Okay.
And I'm an independent contractor. I was forced to take early Social Security.
All right. We're going to have to hold that for just a moment, Peggy. We have to go to a break. This is the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. We're talking about the news that Amazon announced yesterday was raising the minimum wage of its employees to $15 an hour and kind of using that as a springboard to discuss what wages ought to be in general. Should other companies follow Amazon's lead? And is it time to raise the minimum wage either at the state or the federal level? Or maybe you think it's fine just where it is. 800-642-1234. We were talking to Peggy just before the break. Peggy, if you're still with us, why don't you finish your story and then we'll get Laura's response.
Okay, I immediately went on a rent search, and now I've discovered that even in Wisconsin, I would pay from $850 to $1,200 a month. That alone chews up any Social Security I had. So I'm living so far below poverty. It's just nuts. And I've been in the past a wage earner at usually $850 an hour. You just, in Wisconsin, we can't do that anymore. There's
okay.
just nothing
Peggy,
left.
Peggy, we get it. Laura, is Peggy's situation fairly common in the Badger State, do you think?
Well, what I know is that one in five less than $1,250 an hour. Peggy is not alone in terms of facing an impossible math between her housing costs and now that she's on Social Security or back when she was earning wages. It's just by, and this is, it's worth remembering, the richest country in the world, you know, as rich as we've ever been. And we should have a labor market that rewards work in ways that makes life possible. That's really the reason we have an economy, is so that, you know, we can sustain life and have decent lives. You know, the minimum wage, raising the minimum wage is just one way to honor mm-hmm. that work and to make standards of living a little more achievable for some workers.
Peggy, thanks for the call. Let's go to Matt in Green Bay next. Matt, hello. Thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Yes, John and Laura, thank you very much for having me. I own an employment firm in Green Bay, and I've got a pretty good perspective that I'd like to share with the group here. Really, there's kind of two different camps or arguments that could be made. The one based upon, I'm going to use the word entitlement or fairness, I think is shallow, and businesses generally don't respond to that. Businesses will respond based to market forces. So I want to provide some data and resources that will help businesses determine what the correct wage is. So the first data point comes from MIT. You can simply Google living wage in your county that you live in. In Brown County, that is $10.41. The second data point is federal contractors. If you have any federal contractors in your area, large employers in the area, in 2018, the federal contractors have to pay $10.35. In 2019, that's going to $10.60. The third point that I would cite is actually a study published from the Cato Institute in 2013 that shows the value of welfare-like benefits, welfare-type benefits, in the state of Wisconsin is $10.33. So all of those data points, most companies or hiring managers are really not aware of those data points, and we find it very beneficial to educate employers about that, because it really does help them establish what the right wage is for that individual position.
Okay, Matt, we're starting to run out of time here. I'd like Laura to be able to respond to what you had to contribute. Laura?
Yeah, those are some interesting data points and important. I think that especially that MIT living wage calculator is interesting, and the way that especially the number of kids and how much childcare costs play into what makes a wage livable is really a critical thing there, because the 1041 works mostly unless you have kids. Thinking about how we deal with care work is one of the things I wanted to highlight. That care work, I'm going to go back to the comment about Cindy's $12 an hour working in a nursing home sister. The wages in nursing homes are basically a product of public policy. The structure of Medicaid and Medicare reimbursements, if we invest socially in that work, we could pay more for that work. But that's a question of public policy much more than private markets, because it is a question of how we structure Medicaid and Medicare. So we need to raise those wages and honor that work of taking care of the most vulnerable people above these floors, well above these floors, and make it work so that someone who's working in healthcare actually gets health insurance from their job, and someone who's working in retail can afford to buy the things they're selling. I think we're kind of The minimum wage is just one strategy, and then there's strategies around making the market case for employers as well. And I think Amazon making this move is a really large statement of an employer making the case. But I think it's all background credit to the worker organizing that's going on.
Well, Henry Ford famously justified what he paid his assembly line workers, saying he wanted them to be able to buy one of his cars. We don't get that quite as much. Is this something? Could this be at least in part what's behind the Amazon move? They want people to be able to buy Amazon stuff, so they need to pay them more. Laura, did we lose you again? Well, I think we lost Laura again. All right. Well, 800-642-1234. If you call right now, we might be able to get you in before the top of the hour. Okay, so you're back. All right. So Amazon raises its wages. Is that kind of like Henry Ford saying, "I want people to be able to earn enough to buy one of my cars"? Could this be at work? If employers raise wages, people will have more money to buy their stuff.
Yeah, I think it's a domestically focused version of that. Amazon, of course, has its eye on a worldwide retail domination, but they do need to think about their domestic market. And I think both the kind of how they appear as a corporate citizen and how their employees actually relate to them, and the sense of the community about what the point of this company is, being more focused on building decent standards of living throughout its supply chain. It has a lot of work to do there, and I don't think it's clear that it's moving only in that direction. But
well, to clarify, that meant $15 an hour, that's for 50 weeks of work. There's 2 weeks of unpaid vacation in there. And there was also some discussion of whether or not Amazon would be reducing other benefits that people might get if they were getting this $15 an hour. So there may be some trade-offs there. It is worth noting that they have also agreed to raise their minimum wage in the United Kingdom as well. So yeah, they are looking at this as a kind of a global thing. What would it take in Wisconsin to get some movement on the minimum wage, and not necessarily to $15 an hour, but maybe even to just $10 an hour? How much of an effort would that be given the current composition of the legislature?
I'm more of an economist than a political scientist, so I guess I would suggest it seems unlikely with this legislature it would take some change, some serious change. Though,
well, make the economic argument then. Make the economic argument in favor of raising the minimum wage.
Well, I think that in the state of Wisconsin, that 29 other states have done this, that Minnesota, there's stories of workers who drive away from Wisconsin to get to the higher minimum wage in Minnesota. That's a kind of part of the dynamics around this that we don't even think about. If we want to build stronger standards in our labor markets and better quality of life for all Wisconsinites, then raising the minimum wage is one way to do that. And I think workers organizing is probably the way that that will become possible, but it will involve some legislative change as well.
Okay. And we'll leave it there. Laura Dresser, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Laura Dresser is the Associate Director of COWS, formerly known as the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, where researchers consider Wisconsin's economy and social problems. Dresser is a labor economist with emphasis on workforce development and low-wage work, and a professor in the School of Social Work at UW-Madison. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.